Stephanie Russo, archivist with the Dublin City Libraries. Good morning, Stephanie, and welcome to the Monday edition of Northside Today.
Good morning. Thanks very much for having me on.
You are more than welcome. Stephanie, something which has fascinated, generations of Dublin people, and I think Dublin people particularly, is the pantomime. And you are hosting or holding a special history exhibition in relation to pantomime. Tell us about it, Stephanie, please.
Yeah, sure. So we've got an exhibition on here, it's been put together by the archives, and I suppose what it's doing is chronicling the history of pantomime in Dublin and looking at some of the characters who've been there down through the years and some of the theatres that would, I suppose, stand out in people's memory. It's running here in Pier Street Library until the end of January. It's free entry, it's in our Dublin room. And it's been funded by the Decade of Centenaries, Dublin City Council. So I suppose what we're trying to do really is provide that sort of intergenerational appeal that pantomime itself has. And we look at, we've drawn on the Irish Theatre Archive, which is based here in Pier Street, and we've got a board on Jimmy O'Dea and Maureen Potter and some of those big names that I suppose older people will remember. And then we've also got, we've got something on the Billy Barry. We've got the more recent additions to pantomime as well. June Rogers and Twink from the sort of 80s, 90s, 2000s. And then we've got some features on some of the present people like Joe Conlon and Rory Cowan and the different people who are starring in pantomimes at the moment.
And tell me this, Stephanie, when did pantomime, you know, what's the origins of it? Because I presume that it is not an inherently Irish phenomenon.
No, it's not, and it's quite an interesting history that pantomime has. There's various different theories on where it originated, but it's generally agreed that it was essentially an iteration of commedia dell'arte, which was a type of Italian street art that originated in the 1500s, and that. That had those characters like Harlequin and Columbine, and that idea of the mischievous miscreant and his lover being chased by Pantaloon, the lover's father. And as time went by, that formed part of the early pantomimes. And by around the 1700s, we're seeing early pantomimes in England. A man called John Rich was credited with bringing pantomime to England. And then here in Dublin, the earliest reference I could find to pantomime was in 1737, and again it was one of these early Harlequinade pantomimes. It was called The Hussar or Harlequin Restored, and that was in the Theatre Royal in Smock Alley. And from there over the centuries it developed into what we now know as pantomime. So in the 1830s you began to get that gender switching and the pantomime dame, and then in the 1870s there was a move towards the use of fairy tales as the basis for pantomime, which again is how we would recognise pantomime today. And then from the late 1800s, it began to be associated more with Christmas. The early pantomimes could have been at any time of the year. So that's how it sort of developed. And from 1737, they were certainly very popular in Dublin. And when any of the new theatres opened, they tended to have pantomimes quite early on, which I think is sort of testament to how popular they were, because they wouldn't have been cheap to put on. And then they've been going ever since, really.
Yeah, and it's a strange thing, I suppose, that Dubliners particularly, now, yes, they have them in Cork and other places as well, but Dubliners in particular seem to have taken the pantomime really to heart. And you know, as you say, we're talking now about generations of artists performing in the pantomime and generations of families going to see the pantomime. Any idea, and it's probably an impossible question to answer, as why Dublin people in particular took the pantomime to heart?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I think possibly one element might have been that it did have those, I suppose it was popular initially in England, and I suppose for a long time Dublin was, I suppose, a bit of a British stronghold in Ireland, so that might have been, there were lots of sort of British ascendancy here, so maybe it was something that would have appealed to them. I think generally there's appeal in pantomime in that it's quite formulaic, and I think that familiarity appeals to people. And the fact that it's got that intergenerational appeal, that, you know, grandparents and parents and children will all go together, I think that obviously appeals to people. And at Christmas time, it's a nice sort of positive thing to do. And I think a lot of people, since we've been running tours of the exhibition, a lot of people have said to me, oh, we always went to the pantomime on Stevens's Day. And I suppose after Christmas, there can be a little bit of a dip, and it's a really nice positive thing to do in that sort of maybe anti-climax that comes after Christmas with all the fun and music that comes with pantomime.
Yeah, well, of course, I mean, there is a huge tradition in Dublin of theatres and of actors. And I'm just looking, you know, you mentioned it there in your introduction. I mean, some of the names: Cecil Sheridan, Noel Purcell, Jimmy O'Dea, Maureen Potter. I mean, these people are synonymous with pantomime, but they are people of high standing in the theatrical world as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think a lot of those big names of theatre at the time were also big names in pantomime. And as you say, they were very well-esteemed actors. And I think it goes to show how much the theatre world and how much people of Dublin valued pantomime and thought of it as a sort of highly esteemed art, that you were getting these people. And I think as well, when those people were doing pantomimes like Jimmy O'Dea and Maureen Potter, they were there year after year after year after year. And I think the fact that they were so familiar to people, and people would have been seeing them in other media as well, probably added to the appeal of pantomime in Dublin.
Tell me this, Stephanie, and just from talking to you and what you're talking about, what we're talking about this morning, and when you visualise the costumes and the stages that are involved, how long does it take to put a panto together?
Oh gosh, a very long time. I'm not an expert on pantomime production, but certainly a year in advance, the theatres seem to know what they're doing. And
I'm thinking, maybe not even so much from the comedic side of it, because, you know, a lot of it is, I suppose, what we would refer to in the older days as kind of slapstick comedy, but for the costumes, to get them, to make them, to organise them, for the sets, that is a monumental task. So I would imagine that you would probably have to be working a year in advance all the time.
Yes, and again, the money that must go into it must cost a huge amount of money to create all those costumes and props. And I think even going right back for some of the pantomimes, I can't remember now if it was in the Theatre Royal or in the Queen's Theatre, but it was soon after they'd opened one of the new theatres and they were advertising the pantomime they were going to have on, and they were talking about the new machinery and the new props and the new costumes, and you really got a sense of the investment of time and money that was required to put these together. So it is. It's interesting that it's so popular and that the theatres can keep doing it and keep selling out and booking out months and months in advance.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Stephanie. It's a phenomenal success, and long may it continue to be so. Over the generations, has it seen many changes? Or if somebody from the 1920s or 1930s was to come back now, would it resonate with them straight away?
I think it probably would. I know some of the photos we have up, I don't know if they still do it, but certainly I'm in my 30s now, and when I used to go to pantomimes, there was that bit at the end where there'd be a big screen would go up and there'd be a song that everyone was going to sing. And we've got pictures of Jimmy O'Dea as Biddy Mulligan doing the very same thing. So I think there are lots of elements that are very much the same. The pantomime dame is there. I suppose one thing that's gone a bit is that the principal boy used to be played by a woman. And I certainly haven't seen that in any pantomimes I've been to. So that's changed. But I think the key elements with the fairy tale, the same, if you look at the names even of pantomimes going right back, it's the same things that are coming up: Jack and the Beanstalk, Cinderella, Dick Whittington, that element is the same, Aladdin, they've all been going for hundreds of years. And the pantomime dame and the musical aspect and the sort of, if you say that, slapstick comedy. I think a lot of those key elements have remained. The faces have changed, the music has changed, the political jokes have changed. But I think at its core it is still very much the same, and that idea that there's the humour for the children and then the humour that would maybe go over the children's head but would really appeal to the adults. I think all of those things you probably would recognise if you went back 100 years or 150 years or maybe even, I suppose 200 years ago was a little bit different. But certainly I think since the late 1800s, early 1900s, you'd see a lot of the same aspects and things that make pantomime pantomime.
And undoubtedly, Stephanie, that's probably the secret to the success and the longevity of it. Stephanie, will you give us details once more, please, where people can go and see this exhibition, or a website that they can go on to and maybe plan around their... You know, we are on the 18th of November, so Christmas is nigh, as they say, so people will be doing shopping and maybe they might like to fit the exhibition in so they can plan around it.
Sure. So it's as I said, it's here in the Dublin Room in Pier Street Library. We're open from 10 until 8, Monday to Thursday, and 10 until 5, Friday and Saturday. People can just walk in. They don't need to book. They don't need to pay. It's obviously a free exhibition. And the other thing we're doing, if people have groups that they want to bring in for tours, we're happy to do tours for groups of people. So they can find more on just the City Library's website if they search for Dublin City Archives, or they can email cityarchives@dublincity.ie if they want to arrange a tour. And as I said, we're delighted to have had funding from the Decade of Commemorations, and we have some nice things for the kids. There's little games for the kids throughout the exhibition. They have a wild goose chase. So if people were going to a pantomime and they wanted to come in on their way some evening, or if they wanted to come in on a Saturday, they'd be very welcome, and we'd love to see people here.
Stephanie Russo, archivist with Dublin City Library. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I was actually, to have to be honest, I was really, really looking forward to this chat because I knew it was going to be so, so interesting. Stephanie, thanks a million for your time this morning.
No problem. Thanks very much for having me on.
God bless now. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Now, that was Stephanie Russo with the Dublin City Library. She's the archivist there. And that's in relation to the pantomime exhibition. Get along and have a look at it, because it is part of our history as well, along with everything else. But the way it's done, and you can hear the... You know, it'll, if you're of a certain age, it'll take you back to your childhood. And if you're young, well, it'll give you something to look forward to.